Will not do that.
All right, Dave, you were saying.
That's funny.
There you go. That's not fair because I don't have sun up here. All I have is snow.
Okay, so look, hello everybody out there in computer watching the show land. Hey, it's nice to be here with the magnificent Robin Rice and our wonderful host, Lowell Johnson. Good afternoon, everybody. It's March 6th, 2023. That's as cogent as I'm going to get for the rest of the day. You guys say whatever you like.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
It's so nice to see you. You're so beautiful, and you have so many wonderful things that you've been sharing. And I don't know how this is going to go, because I'm not sure I wanted to talk about the Beyond Earth sentient aspect. I've been getting a lot of visits. And so, everybody, I've been sending photographs to Lowell and to Robin so that they can see the colors of the ships and the shapes of the ships. And they're very meaningful to us, because we are trying as hard as we can to have open, loving communication with species from other worlds. And sometimes we have it. Sometimes we wish they were around more. But we're all getting visited right now. And so Robin was able to share some nice, quiet time with me, Lowell, so that I could feel less isolated. And I was feeling very isolated since February 2nd. And, you know, when we talked about those ships on our last interview, it wasn't really an interview. It was more like sort of just a talk.
It was you and I just bantering back and forth.
Well, you know,
it's what we do.
Sometimes it takes, like, I'll understand what a light flash is right away off of a ship now. When they first programmed me with that ability and showed me how they communicate with light packages, I wasn't able to cognate the full message for sometimes up to 2, 3, 4 weeks. And so I was feeling really excited and ecstatic that we could share those pictures. And I was so happy to share some of them with Robin. And since the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, in the first 3 weeks of February, I was seeing ships every other night, a different ship. And you know how many photos I've sent you, Lowell, it boggles the mind.
It's happening often.
Oh, they're big and they're beautiful. And they love us so much. And so one of the conversational topics that we shared was that they just want us to be really, really happy, and that they love us and they can't do everything for us, and that we have to make the positive changes right now in this reality in order to see that beautiful Gaia reassured and cared for the way she needs to be. And so it was very meaningful. And I think since February, since seeing all those ships, because the visual contact has slowed down, and I've had other experiences since those visits, because they open up over a period of time. And so I guess I would really like to talk about one of the things that Robin brought up with me, which was people discuss love, this, and just put out love and be loving all the time as an aspect of the way we develop to help people that are in sadness remember that love is just around the corner. And sharing love is just an aspect of the healing process. We can't all love everything all the time, but we can remember that when we have that extra time to be loving and put that energy out there with forgiveness and with kindnesses and with, you know, nice behavior and being polite, everything else that identifies us as a higher species. And Robin really had some beautiful things to say about higher cognition and paying attention to the now. And, you know, I was talking about don't worry about yesterday, it's gone, and don't try and narrate the future. Don't try and describe the divine and control the narrative. And just let whatever happens on everyone's individual basis to harmonize with your frequency and harmonize with your ability to understand it. And that's the second sort of strong message I received after February. I just was sort of reflecting that back and forth with Robin. Robin, have you got anything to mention about that idea, that thought?
Well, I really don't remember my words that I said the other day because it just flows out of me when I'm saying it. But, you know, really what they're always, you know, bringing forth to me is, living in the now moment of, you know, we can't focus on what was yesterday and, you know, what is going to be coming forward, but everything is the now. I mean, we are in yesterday, we are in tomorrow, and we are in right now. So if we are putting our hearts in our now moment and wrapping our hearts and our feelings in our now moment, we are taking care of our yesterdays and we are taking care of our tomorrows if we are really focusing on our now moments, because we're healing what happened yesterday, because we're caring for the heart of right now, you know. So, and we don't need to worry about what happens because we're focusing on what is going on right now, and it will just unfold in front of us. And it just, we don't need to plan for the future. It will just unfold in front of us. And if our heart is pure, it'll just come to us.
Right. Right. And then now what you've done is you've reintroduced exactly what you were channeling during the conversation. And Lowell and I were touching on this too, a lot about connecting our heart to our mind and keeping that as a continual loop rather than a part-time skill, you know, in order to, like, speaking with you, Robin, was so magnificent because you do indeed sort of channel a higher source or a higher intelligence, and you have that 100% flow, which is great. And you just don't really get it until you're there. And the closer I get to being able to cognitively and communicate with some ease all of the wonderful messages and technologies and suggestions that Beyond Earth Sentience have for my life and their message that they believe about humanity. So it's just changed the way I feel about everything. And being here now was great. But Lowell, we were talking about connecting our heart and our mind so that we could be that way all the time. And I think that it takes many years. I've been working on it almost every day for 5 years because my experience was 6 years ago. So it's sort of, it landed like a cannonball on my chest, the idea that we should inculcate this skill about keeping our heart and our mind connected 100% of the time.
It's almost like you're sinking your mind. You're sinking your mind into your heart. You're not really like connecting.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're sinking your mind into your heart. And once you sink your mind into your heart, you can sink your mind into the heart of Mother Gaia. And totally. Once you sunk your mind into the heart of Mother Gaia, you can pull her back up, and then you can pull it back up, right. And you can pull it back up into the heart of God. And it just is all one thing.
Well, talk about synchronicities, Lowell, you know, that's why I was saying, you know, humankind has been looking to the heavens to speak to the eye and the ear and the heart of God since time immemorial. And indeed, the divine creator hears us, God hears us, Gaia hears us. But I just also wanted to mention how important it was to take our shoes off and make sure that we're not wearing rubber flip-flops. You know, it's cold out, but it's really important to get your shoes and socks off and go walking in the dirt, walking in the snow, get your feet dirty. You know, you don't want to be a pussyfoot and have perfect girly feet. You want to have calluses on your feet, right? So
no, I don't think remember, I do.
Yes. Well, you know what? Remember our friend Laura, who came over to the Shasta meeting to visit from North Carolina?
Yes.
Right. So she posts some fab videos on her YouTube channel. She takes her shoes off and walks through the snow. And it's great because rubber is a resistor against connecting to the vibration and the piezoelectricity and all the electricity that comes from Mother Gaia. And so take your shoes off and plant them in the ground and straighten your back and align all your chakras and do some deep breathing. And then just absorb Gaia's love and her energy and her thoughts through your body so that you become a channel for Gaia, and then release these things to the crown of your seventh chakra. And then this connects you. You become like a dipole, like the little wire in between the universe and Mother Earth. And then you get that complete download from the universe and all that wonderful love that goes out to where we need to send love. Other parts of the galaxy need love too. It's not just Earth. And understanding what's going on. I don't operate on anything but love. See, I'm a love warrior. I just want everyone to be happy. And there's so many things that we could put that energy towards rather than being unhappy. Oh, it's happened. Hang on a second. Let me just do this. Sorry, I'm having a... I got
Wood. Good thing this cowgirl wears cowgirl boots all the time, doesn't wear much rubber.
Right? Let's see if I can do this thing. Damn. Let's just click on it and see what happens.
Would you break?
No. That's my lad. Well, that's got to be good for now. Hang on just a second. I can text him at 911. So, can you guys see me all right?
Yeah.
Perfectly.
Well, go ahead and take off, Robin, and say something, because I pretty much have everything to say anyways. You got to text the computer geek.
Well, I wanted to tell you, you know, the other night, you know, the golden mesh that's all across my head, I was sleeping. I had something going on Gaia and I fell asleep and I was sleeping and something was in my room and was telling me to wake up. And I woke up and there's something playing on Gaia and was talking about skulls that had this gold mesh over the top of the skulls, and they were the shining ones. And they were actually had these skulls and they were taken apart, and they were talking about the elongated skulls and how they had the gold mesh. And I watched part of this episode and I sat there and watched and I turned it off and I'm like, I'm going to watch the rest of it tomorrow morning. I cannot find what the heck was playing on Gaia. I cannot find it. I looked through everything. I'm like, what was playing? And something was like, wake up, you need to watch this. And I'm like, what the heck was going on?
Yeah.
But if anybody knows what that episode was or what was on.
There's a lot of stuff that comes on and goes missing. I mean, there's some fascinating stuff that was on years ago.
I have no idea.
And I just can't find it anymore. I don't know. You know, AI picks and chooses what it wants us to be interested in. I don't remember. Gaia is a lot of fun. They sure produce a lot of stuff. And when I was talking to you about the gold mesh, and you had a gold mesh experience, and I had one too, but I wasn't sure I was going to mention it. If we go back to my collection point on January 7th, 2017, when I was taken away, I had injured my skull, and I was introduced to a small doctor, Robin, called the Jovita doctor. And he's a cerebral and spinal specialist, and they're all over the galaxy. So if any ambassadors or scientists or any specific species falls and injures themselves, they can be repaired almost immediately by this doctor. And their species are specialists, and they know about thousands and thousands of different nervous systems of physical beings. And oh great, this is it's done that. Right. See, I haven't a clue either. This happened to me that one time and I've had to finish.
I love it, David. I'm the same
way. Do I know your tech support?
My computer's doing my thingamajigger is doing this thingamading and I don't know what to do about it. That's how I fix my computer. I take it to my guy and I'm like,
my guy to fix the whatchamacallit and the thingamajig.
And half the time he doesn't charge me because he's like, Robin, just push this. And I tell him fun stories, tell him about beans and weird things that have been happening in my house. I entertain him. So he just does things.
Yeah, that's why he doesn't charge. You don't charge him a ticket for that little stool.
I know. I tell him wild stories. I entertain him while he's fixing my computer.
You got it. That's good enough. Can you sort of...
How's it going, guys? Give me one second.
William's amazing. So the computer just decided to do whatever it wanted to do. Now I can see you guys. Oh, Brian's here. Peace up. Thank you. Yeah, so I'm back from I Hate Computer Land. You know, they suck. But you know what? Well, why don't you say something about the incoming Carrington event? Because we're going to get a big fat X-class flare. It's going to shut all this stuff down. So we need to start writing letters again and support the U.S. Post Office, or start working on our psychic acuity so that we can just talk to each other, you know, through the airwaves with our brains. Because, you know, everything's going to go.
And well, we do know it's imminent.
Yeah, we had an X-class flare on the sun a couple days ago.
Yeah, another one. So there have been two in the past week. There's another active region that's kind of slipping in. I saw this morning.
It's a big one.
And it has it's in a moment or so, it's going to be pointing in our direction.
Wall Thornhill at the Thunderbolts Project and Ben Davidson and Suspicious Observers must be running their tails off, because there's no way to tell when they're going to happen. And right. I think I remember Ben talking about lead shielding a generator, or there was a car that was on YouTube that was lead shielded for an EMP, you know.
They're designing some kind of vehicle like that for his new compound.
Robin, so I think what I'm going to do with you and my other friends now is I'm just going to start sending you psychic messages. And when you think I've said hello, whether it's 1:22 in the morning or whether it's, you know, 1:40 in the afternoon, send me a text saying, got it. And then I'll give you a thumbs up if you did. And if I'll give you a thumbs down if you didn't. So, but honestly, we need to work on it, because a Carrington event, back in 1860, there was an X-class flare on the sun. It burned all the telegraph wires across the United States. And the charge was so finite and so compressed, the layers of the electrical charge, that they were actually able to send signals from Pennsylvania and Vermont to Ohio and Chicago and back with the Morse code. But they didn't have any wires there, but they were still able to communicate. And it boiled and melted all the copper wires we had. We were a pre-industrial civilization in the 1860s. We had very minor electrical stuff going on, but that was a major Earth-facing X-class flare. So computers, I hate them. I'm done talking about the Carrington event, but it's going to happen eventually. And then
I do know that, you know, in other realms, other than, you know, we're so attached to all of our stuff. And I do know in other realms, these are used for necessity things. But other than that, they're not in our pockets and used all the time. It's like they don't carry phones around and our computers around, and so they do use the telepathic and the more, not necessarily just telepathic, but just emotion. Like I can feel you across the universe. I'm like, you know you're saying I can feel you, I know that you need something.
That's very personal. I didn't think you'd be talking about you feeling me across the universe.
But, you know, we don't need to have all these handheld things. And even in the councils, you know, they'll grab these things, and they will use them for what the necessity is. And then they tuck them away, per se, in a safe where they're safe. And then they're not used on a regular basis because they don't want that energy flowing to the community at all times. It clogs, it brings in things that are unnecessary to the benevolent energy.
Well, I have good news for you. I want to show you something. So stay right there. Don't go away.
I feel like I should slide in a commercial here.
So
I know.
So in response
to some crystals.
In response to shutting down the electrical bullshit in my business, we've just bought ourselves a rebuilt working 1943 rotary phone, and we're having it connected to the old landline and transferring our electrical business cell phone number to this. No answering machine, and it has a great ring when it rings. So absolutely, I can't stand cell phones. I want to get rid of all of them. They've made us all dependent on this crap.
Yeah.
There we go.
Mine's been on vibrate since like the third day I ever got it. So right. When I don't answer things right away, it's because it's in my pocket. And if I haven't, you know, fired up notifications for that particular app, I'll get you later. But that's I remember when we were young. And if we weren't home and the phone rang, what happened if you weren't there to pick it up? Right. Yeah, they'll call you back later. That's kind of how it works. Then we got sophisticated and they could leave us a message on our answering machine.
Oh, you know.
So all we had to do, now we had to get back to them quicker when we finally got the message. I tell you what, how this happened?
Big Brother really crept in all those little devices of control. I want them out, out, out. You know, I can't read Kindle or read off a computer screen. I don't know how anybody can handle that shit. Scalar waves from cell phone towers are obviously terrible for everybody. If it penetrates a stone building, imagine what it's doing to your brain. Books, read books. They're great. And you can sit there in bed, read a book. And I don't know, something nice about it. You know, so let's get rid of the cell phones. Start working on the psychic communication. I wasn't planning on coming across with a specific topic today, just sort of hanging out with you guys and showing you some love and respect. So
that's how we always roll. This is where the real stuff just authentically flows when we do. So this is great. I really wanted to start to introduce more contact stuff like we talked about like the week before last. So that, you know where I stand on telling the tell a story and where you stand on Kim Jim. And yes, it's important that people know that those things really happen because they're going to happen to you, whether they're that extraordinary or not.
Right.
They're going to happen. But we've moved on. There's been new things that the universe has been showing us, a new contact that's been established, and new perspectives that we got in the meantime. Because when Dave started to have some more contact, like back in February, and new messages were left, and he had visitors who he didn't recognize the last time around while he was watching his favorite movie, it just tells me that I'm right in that more of this contact is taking place. And when we started to discuss, you know, why that's taking place, where we thought we were the emissaries and the ambassadors on the planet, and we were going to play that role. Didn't we think potentially that those beings that were going to visit Earth might have their own little locale, you know, teams that are coming out and scouting out things too. And like KJ borrows things, you know, so he can show them off as, artifacts to his buddies and then return them later. I mean,
they the last time they took something off my desk, it was a quartz crystal and a fish fossil and just a tiny little flat one, but it was a really nice one that I had found when I was like 16 out in Alamogordo or something. Anyways, they took the fish fossil and I was a little surprise, but it's not the first time because they've actually accidentally broken stuff. And I have Kachinas. When my mom was very close to the Zuni Pueblo, the Zuni Nation, and they loved her very much because of her work with lions. And so she was a big fan of Hopi and Navajo peoples and Zuni peoples. And so, in fact, when she passed away, I donated her house and all of her possessions to the Zuni Nation, so that they could have whatever they wanted. And they're such lovely, funny people, very, very interesting. But she gave me all of her kachinas, obviously. I mean, they would give tihu to her. They're called tihu teachers, like Star People and Kokopelli, the hunchback flute player, things like that. But I have a lot of them. And I remember one night when they were poking around my things, I heard some clunking. And about 3 or 4 days later, I discovered that they'd knocked some of the statues off their stands. And they're made very delicately anyways. So you really kind of have to hold the stand and go like that. And I know they break things. They don't mean to. But so guess what? After a couple of days after they've taken the quartz and the fish fossil, I called Laura up in North Carolina because, you know, she's one of my dearest friends. And I really tell her everything, like my heart and everything that goes on inside my inner workings, because I trust her very deeply. And so I called her and said, hey, Laura, so I'm poking through my desk, telling her about the visit and what they took. And there was a piece of paper folded in half in my top drawer, one of my pieces of paper. And I opened it up and there was a 3-inch high by 3-inch circumference base bronze bell. An Asian bronze bell with an old clapper in it. So I took it to the Natural History Museum, to the Asiatic PhD there who does all the Egyptian stuff. And he identified it as a 900-year-old South Korean temple bell. And he said it was one of the rarest examples. And where did I ever find it? And I said, it was a gift. And he went, this is a fabulous gift. Anytime you want to donate it to the museum, we'd be happy to take it for our Asiatic Studies collection.
Galactic artifacts making their way around the
planet. You know, they're trading.
They were very sorry.
I got the better end of the stick.
See, well, that's exactly what I thought. Or they busted it, so they replaced it with that.
They replaced it for breaking your stuff.
Hilarious. Hilarious. Yeah.
They felt bad.
It's funny, too, because I don't, I put a lot of too much importance on a lot of my possessions, not because I love to own things, but because they were always gifts from people that I love very much. Or when I bought things when I had money, it was always in a really pretty place on a really special occasion, and I had a little extra money, and it was fun. You know, I used to love being young and traveling all over the world. I've found interesting stuff in Africa and Morocco and all over Eastern and Western.
But they are still just things.
And who gives a shit, you know? So, but they left this expensive bronze bell because they extracted from my head that I have a lot of crap. But my son and I are actually selling everything, all of the family heirlooms, all the crap I got from my mom. And I was telling Lola, it's like a ham around your neck and a sea of sharks. You just don't need the stuff. So we're buying a piece of property way, way up high in the mountains. And it has a nice private valley. And so we're going to grow lemon and orange trees and blackberries and build us a little cabin. And it has a gold mine on it, too. So we're going to open that back up and see what's inside. Should be fun.
Nice.
But I reckon all the antique crap I've got, everything, we're getting rid of everything, coins, jewelry, whatever we got from our families, because I was the last one in a long line of my family members, so I inherited whatever they thought was valuable, and turned out some of it was. So, and we don't have any money. Well, we've just really been blessed because all of our bills are getting paid. The bakery has been slow because we've had 5 weeks of solid rain in Southern California, coupled with 30-degree, 40-degree weather. And these people don't buy pies when it's like that. They stay home and have Uber Eats. You know, they can afford that shit. So it's been slow. So we're really lucky. And so we're going to get this place. And William wants to continue with the bakery because we sell organic pies and it's good for the local kids to eat real food. But we're just so happy to have a place to bolt to so that we can, you know, be away from the city should there be something crazy going down. You know, we don't really take part in the status quo anyways.
Makes me happy to hear William wants to continue what he already knows.
Oh, man.
It's really cool.
His contact experiences are really, he gets some really fabulous big ships that come down from way, way out there. And he calls to them and they respond, and he's had some very good luck with contact and photographs. There's been some beautiful big dark crafts, a cigar with a light at the end of it that shined on him like a laser. And it was probably 1,000 feet long and 500 feet in diameter. It's huge.
He's got that demeanor, just like you, buddy. Surprise to me why you were chosen. Because your heart is what it is. You know, the ETs that are coming our way, the ultra-terrestrials, we already know, you know, they know what you're made out of. And they're not wasting their time on low vibration people, you know, just mess with them. No, they're only communicating with people whose trust they've earned. And that's when they start, first of all, just to reveal themselves. Then as time goes on, like you and Kim, Jim, trust is established and more communication and contact takes place. Oh, yeah. And you get exchanges and downloads in the meantime. And then now it seems as though Kim Jim's kind of opened the door for, you know, some of his other extraterrestrial pals to make their way to you now. I see that as connecting the dots, and that's how they ended up in your space.
Yeah, that's so pretty accurate. You know, it's funny because the way that you have to work and I have to work, and Robin, you have a shop, so you know what it's like to work for yourself, right? So it's like we all are still on the hamster wheel.
Because, I'm not on a wheel.
I'm not on a wheel. You're not on
I create a wheel. I create whatever beauty I want comes my way. So it's not a wheel. Yeah. It's a beautiful life.
This is why we're moving to the mountains to get off a wheel, because no matter how beautiful my life is, I still got to work my ass off to generate finances. And I'm so glad I don't have a big fat mortgage hanging over my head or any credit card debt. You know, I've drilled myself out of that BS mentality. And after I met Kim Jim and he told me that money isn't actually real, it doesn't exist, then it was like, that was clear as a bell. And so my relationship changed. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't switched on, Robin. You know, I was a brainwashed buffoon. You know, I had inklings and I had special feelings about different realities and different dimensions and hope beyond what this human experience is. But until 2017 rolled around and they came down and collected me and took me away and they gave me the big rejig, I don't want to sit for hours and re-describe everything that happened to me. There's no point. Lowell and I have been through it together 20-30 times. So everything changed for me. I mean, you may have had your life the way it is for a long time, or you may have been an ascended person for many years. But for me, it's been a completely new experience. And when it happened, I actually kept my mouth shut for 4 years and didn't go out going, I've been taken away by a UFO. I kept my mouth shut for 4 years and didn't tell a soul. And the reason is because it took me that long just to have a cogent understanding of the events that unfolded. It was a completely life-shattering, earth-shattering experience. And I came away with, I don't give a shit if anyone believes me, because no one's going to believe me.
So well, I get that. I get that, because I don't talk about my experiences very often. I don't share my experiences, you know, because they're personal to me. They're, you know, it takes a while to integrate what's really was happening and what really was going down, because it's pretty profound and pretty overwhelming. Because mine was one day one way, you're one way, and then all of a sudden, what the heck, you're another way, another day. You know, it wasn't like other people that I meet that have been awake for a long time and this has been their life for 20 years. I just was one way, you know, the next day I'm like, what the heck is happening?
That's what happened to me. But yours came in the way it came to you. Mine came in the form of Kim.
Yeah, exactly. Away. You know, so we had different experiences. But yeah, it's just all of a sudden, bam, there you are. But yeah, it takes you a little while to get used to what really is happening. And you take a few years to figure out that you're not nuts. And you don't want to express totally. It. You don't want to express it to your family, and you used your words very gingerly to your family. And I still express what I'm doing to my family as I only communicate with angels. I do tell my children, children do know that I talk to beings and to more than just angels, that I talk to people in other realms and to aliens and stuff. They do know that I channel, but they've never heard me speak it. Mm-hmm. So they don't know what that means. If they ever heard me speak it, they'd probably shit their pants.
So funny. So true.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to Vivian Chauvet wanted me to talk about my experience on her show. We did an hour and a half interview with her and Jeff Demers. And then I did another one with Sheila Seppi and Vivian. We talked a lot about my experience. And I understood first and foremost that when we do mention it to people that we care about and we love, we have to prepare ourselves for them to say, you're nuts, I'm done with you, whatever, this is bullshit, you know, go to church on Sunday and shut up. Don't tell anybody. And there was a lot of that. And I probably had seven friends that I'd known for 25, 30 years bail on me.
Yeah.
And that's cool, you know. And so what? I mean, it was that life-changing thing. So this, that was my being awoken to the new life, new earth, new ascension program. Lowell, you had a very stark and powerful realization occur to you. And so this is interesting. And Lowell and I have spoken in the past, Robin, about how contact is made by which species or which angelic voice or deity from heaven comes down and speaks to us. And they speak to us on that level in which we are very sort of hardwired to understand.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be, but like, some people go to school and ace all the subjects, or some people go to school and just be really good at English or at math. But when they come down to see you and wake you up, they make sure you're really good at all those things with them before they walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a complete upload about the future, who I was, my past lives. They healed me. They took away all of my emotional pain. They explained why I was born, how they had manipulated me in the past, how they'd been manipulating my family for over 1,000 years because they thought my family was important, but they had messed up. And they came down to see me and have physicality with me because they messed up. And they had to unload the whole thing and tell me. But they said the exciting thing was is that they would take care of me for the rest of my life, that I didn't have to worry, that I would always live a happy life, and that they would be introducing me to people who would love me and help me understand the situation that we're in. And so, of course, that's what happened. I started meeting these fabulous people that have all had the same experience. Mm-hmm. All the old ones who were part of the old David went away, and all the new ones started walking in the door, just like Lowell came into my life. We mm-hmm. all went to Shasta for a reason, and it wasn't the reason why we went there. It was that's to right. go because we want to connect with Source, and we want to connect with Tribe. Like, I'll try and make it to contact in the desert just to go hook up with some friends. But I won't go there to go listen to speakers and stuff. That's all sort of not what I'm into. I don't do any of that stuff. But it was really interesting. You know, I also went to 2 different psychiatrists after this happened to me. And one of them was a 9-hour session, and the other one was a couple of sessions. And they, both the psychiatrists told me that what happened was a beautiful experience, that my story was so fantastic and wonderful that I might, you know, not feel so afraid to share it because it's so full of beautiful things. And one of them was an FBI psychiatrist that sat with me, and I talked to him about it. It was a man I really loved and trusted very much. His name was Dr. Wayne Light. And he was the psychiatrist that, you know, made sure I was suitable for my law enforcement career when I was a young man. I was in the sheriff's department.
Had he had any experiences with other people with stories similar?
Yeah, yours? There was other stuff that came up. You know, I don't want to quote him directly, but mm-hmm. He said that it was a normal experience and that I should be happy.
I've met some people at the Biomed conference that had some experiences like yours, you know.
Wonderful.
Different types, but had some experiences. I mean, there's many people that have had experiences like yours.
Oh yeah,
beautiful experiences, not so beautiful experiences.
There's many
people out there. I mean, that have had experiences. I mean, they're having contact with all kinds of people. You know, all over. You know, yeah. they're wanting to show themselves, let themselves be known. They're really wanting their frequencies to be felt and our vibrations to be elevated so they can be felt more readily, more often, and be here more frequently. At least that's what they're telling me. You know, that's what I'm getting from them. I mean, because they come into my room quite often, you know, so.
I don't doubt it.
They don't want people to fear them, and they want to be here and be seen, which they are here, but they want to be seen and felt, and they want people to feel the love and the joy all the time. And they want the vibrations of the sadness and the detriment and the despair of the planet to be turned down so the love can be felt more. I mean, you got to turn all that stuff down. You
sound familiar, Lowell.
Yeah, I mean, we're still stuck in this density, and you know, that's until and unless Dave mentioned the last time we spoke that Kim Jim had given him some other information. And one of the most important things that I heard that was shared with Dave is to stop thinking that we're in the ascension process. No, Kim Jim said we're already ascended. Oh, that's exactly right. We're already heaven on earth.
I mean, heaven is all around us. The angels are all around us. They're already right here. They've been here. Just open your eyes.
Yeah, how come we didn't know that before is my question.
You know, they're all around us and they've been here for several years. I've been noticing they're all around us. I mean, I remember telling my mom one day a couple of years ago, I'm like, they're right here, Mom. You know, but, you know, they really, I was telling you the other day, David, you know, I'd messaged you, you know, how I was with the Yeti and they were saying, you know, when we want to raise the vibration of love and joy, we've got to remember, we have to turn down the despair. We have to turn down the sadness. You can't just flood everybody with love when they're like, oh my gosh, I have no room for love. My meter is full of despair. How come I can't put any love in here? I'm full. You got to turn down that despair. You got to turn down that sadness. You can't keep focusing on all of that. Oh my gosh, what if, right. what if, worry. Stop it. Right. I know,
but honey, all we get to do, we can't chart that course for anybody because we don't pilot their craft.
I know we can't. We can't.
Yeah, I don't deny it. I mean, there's gonna be people that are in the awakening process going on for many years to come. And because the cycle of our planet changing and Gaia shaking a bunch of us off for a long time. Those cycles are repetitive. It's a beautiful thing to be part of it and just enjoy every day and be in the moment and be full of love. I, you know, when I had my experience, the earth shattering thing for me is when he put his hand on the back of my neck and had me close my eyes. And he said, take a deep breath through your nose and let it slowly out through your mouth. And by the time I had done that one simple breathing exercise, his hand pulled away and there was this whooshing feeling. And I felt like an anvil was lifted off the base of my neck. And every sad thing and every bad thing that had ever bothered me in my life all went away. And it was just a total cleansing of everything. And I just felt so different, so new and so awake. And for me, he removed all those things. And I needed to have them removed because I hadn't developed the skills in order to get rid of them in the nature
that
I
needed
to. And so he really came down and healed me. He healed me because I had some emotional illness. And it was probably going to kill me. But it was nothing I'd ever done. It was just emotional, accepting the emotional statements and deeds of other people that were nasty in my life and hanging on to them like it was some sort of guidebook. And all of that stuff had been taken away. And so he gave me back my original self. And then instead of just turning me loose, took me away for 4 days to the Taurus cloud, to a planet called Broccoli, where I was given an educational system. I was given brain surgery. And I was given opportunity to do a dissertation to over 2,000 scientists from around the galaxy, every one of them different. And I wasn't the only human doing it. And it's really interesting too, because on Lowell's seen me release photographs of the inside of interstellar conveyance. And we'll just retro back for a second. I don't use the word UAP, UFO or anything, because those are government acronyms and anything produced by any world government is made to demonize them. So call them what your heart tells you to call them. You want to call them angels to me. These little blue people that come into my house that are from Taurus, I call them beyond earth sentience. And they're lovely, they're sweet, and they're kind, and they know they can hang out with me. I've sent photographs of them to Soul-Based Life, and Soul-Based Life is Becca's channel, and she's posted them into the circle, and you know that circle. So
it's my circle.
Right? So it's like, okay. So it's generated some interest and given some answers. Then I put up pictures of an interstellar conveyance that has 120-ton crystal panels that vibrate to make the ship run, and I photographed it. And there's an entity holding my hand, pulling me down this long black glass floor. I posted those pictures on several different sites. And, you know, whatever response comes back. But so I shared and I did my duty, right? I did my duty. Now, what my job is now is when we have a 9.5 earthquake in Los Angeles, which is imminent, all the freeways are going to collapse. There's no way in or out, and there's no aid coming from the Fed. So every grocery store in every neighborhood has just 7 days worth of food in it for the community around that grocery store. So, you know, whether you have a bug out shelter or not to get up the mountains to go, you know, eat your canned vegetables, whatever, I'm just going to ride the whole shit and shebang out. So I don't pay attention to shows. I don't operate a website. I don't sell t-shirts, coffee cups, or caps, but my experience is real. I don't give a shit if anybody believes it or not, but then there's a million people who have had the same experience. And when Kim Jim came down Lowell a couple of weeks ago, he said, let them know it's not 7 million people that have had contact. It's over 14 million people who have had direct physical contact, me being one of them. You are not unique. Mm-hmm. We're doing this to wake you up. We come back every 2,000 years to wake you up because the same thing keeps happening to you. Wake up. Mm-hmm. Now we've initiated the ambassador program. You've given you the downloads. You're no longer in ascension. You're ascended. Turn up the fucking rheostat and get to work.
There is the proof. The fact that you've had those interactions, the fact that you've gone where you've gone, here is the proof that this stuff happens. And now it's time for others to get it.
I've shown you the photographs. I don't need to show any more. You know, if everyone wants to be a hairless ape and drag nuclear bombs across the planet, you're going to get left behind in 3D. All right, because the ascended have ascended, and we're either going to help you, and you're really, because what I'm seeing a lot of, and I'm still going to say it again, is part-time people who think they're cool, or this is a community, and they get the vibe of the tribe. And to me, it sounds like a lot of people sort of come in saying, oh, this is really wonderful, it healed this, and I had a crystal vision, and all this other shit. And then they walk away, and they say something nasty about some girl's hairdo.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it doesn't go both ways. You're either a nice person 100% of the time, Sonny Jim, or you're not. And they
either speak from that perspective and that area, or you don't.
Right. Because they know. Right. You know, the choice is yours. And, you know, I talked about the last time we got together, I talked about the three human conditions that are brain that have caused 90% of the people on the planet to keep their head up their rear end. That's in the scientific terms, that's cranial anal inversion. And many people suffer from that because all they think about is food, sex, and money, or sex, sex, food, or food, food, money, or money, money, money. That's all people think about. And so while you're tape looping that in your little tiny brain, if you stop being affected by the terrestrial value systems that's been handed to you by the slave lord 6,000 years ago, then you're going to friggin' wake up. You're going to hear the message from the sky. You're going to hear the ancient wisdom from Gaia, and you're going to, you know, not suffer from cranial anal inversion anymore. But it's food, sex, and money. You control your mind. You control your own thoughts. Don't try and be a decent person. Look what happened in the Catholic Church and the Boy Scouts. Right? If there's no transparency, then you're bullshitting yourself.
Yes.
Right? So it's not a part-time job, people. Heart, mind, chakra, connection. And all of a sudden, you're going to start hearing voices, seeing lights in the sky, and you're going to know when Gaia is in trouble. You'll feel her pain. And then all of a sudden, yep, on the news, there's 15 new fracking wells that were opened up. Well, there you go. Oh, 100 new McDonald's got built in third world countries. Well, there you go. Right? 100 million carats of diamond were harvested out of Gaia in South Africa by De Beers. There you go. Right? All these people that think they're environmentalists by buying an electric car, there are 7-year-old children scraping cobalt out of a Chinese government-owned mine in the Congo. Hundreds of them. Scraping cobalt out so you can have the damn cobalt for your Prius or your Leaf or your Tesla. You think you're being an environmental hero? And who do you think is going to recycle those jumbo batteries?
The battery that will never biodegrade.
No, we're going to have some horseshit agreement with China. They're all going to go in a boat. The Chinese are going to go, thank you very much, and take our money and dump them in the China Sea.
Because that's people that need to have a new car. Every couple of years. I need to buy a new car every couple of years.
Right. I mean, listen, it's all one thing being connected to people from other civilizations. But they've told me, stop going boom-ba-ya trying to get to the fifth when you need to get the third sorted out. You stop the nuclear bombs. You stop the fracking. You stop the plastics manufacturing. You bring small jobs back into America. You start waking up and acting like your great-great-grandparents. Grow your own victory garden. Stop polluting. You don't really need that new car, do you? So it's like, that's what ascension is. You know, otherwise it's just pretension.
Wow. Nice segue.
That's how he really feels.
Yeah. I'm gonna hold back. It's the baker's rant. I mean, I love you guys. That's why we're talking the truth. If I didn't respect you, you'd have hung up on me half an hour ago.
Well, you know, here's why I'm glad we're doing these things. You know, it's going to seem to a lot of people that our journey is really mature because they've been hearing us talk about this for a little while now. And we all know how mature my journey is. It ain't all that. No. But we sound like we're really in it and got it. When Robin gets to share her perspectives, when you get to share that, I hold out hope for all the people that are just kind of getting a little wind of what it is that we're talking about. And that's why I love to do these, so they can begin to listen to your narratives, both of you. They weren't like anybody else's stories, but they're going to resonate with somebody else. That's what we're supposed to be doing next.
No. Yeah. You know, and we're not perfect. You know, we're not doing everything that.
What?
We're not. I know I'm not perfect. I don't know everything. But when I feel something in my heart, I do it wholeheartedly, and I walk, like he's saying, I walk my truth, you know, and I go inward and I speak with my divine. I speak with my inner self, and I go in and I counsel with my higher self. I speak with my truth. And I counsel with the angelics and not listen to what is going on in the outer world around me. I only go with what is my highest truth.
I'm not promulgating negativity.
No, I'm not saying that.
I know.
I'm not saying that.
No, I'm saying that because I was just thinking somebody might think that. Bringing up what we already know is oftentimes a painful experience, especially for the person bringing it up. Robin, I wish you had come up to me and put your hand on my arm at Shasta, because your energy is excellent. It's excellent. And I can feel it coming through the screen on this simple earth device. It's wonderful. And
what he's talking about is my guides told me that I was supposed to go put my hand on his hand. I was supposed to go talk to him and put my hand on his hand at Mount Shasta. And I said, no, I am not doing that. I have no idea who that guy is. I am not going to go do that. They'd already made me do that several months earlier to some stranger at a coffee shop and made me go introduce myself to somebody, and I embarrassed myself. And they keep trying to get me out of my bubble. And I'm like, I am not. Quit making me do this.
I was so sorry. I was so sorry you had ignored that guide, because there was a couple of gals at the Shasta conference that were hanging on to me, clutching me so hard that it was like actually very uncomfortable. I'm a big guy. And, you know, I didn't want to just like shake my arm and send them flying. But they were.
Yeah, then he got up and spoke, and then I'm like, oh, that's who that guy is. Because I'm like, I am not gonna go up to some stranger and put my hand on him. I am not gonna do that.
I was looking for someone to take out to dinner that night, and that would have been great. Had you come up and put your hand on my arm, I was like, cheeseburgers or fish?
It would have been perfect. It was my birthday. I went to dinner with Lowell the night before.
Damn.
I wonder, The next night was the night that we all had dinner together at Dave's Airbnb. So hand on his back would have led to that evening too, because that was amazing.
We had a really nice dinner. I found some fresh caught cod, and it wasn't Atlantic either. It was Icelandic cod. And I did an old French recipe, an old family recipe called poisson vert jus, which is a crushed green juice from the grape rather than the wine. But you throw a little Chenin Blanc and some butter and some shallots in, a little bit of white pepper. And Vivian Chabet and her husband Peter were there, and Lowell and Kent, my friend Kent, was there. We had a nice dinner and really had a great time.
It was a blast. And Dave pulled out his, what instruments were you playing at the end of the night?
I played, I brought my drums, a couple of my drums up with me. I brought a zarb, which is an Egyptian hand drum. It looks like a dumbek, but it has a straight cylindrical body and then it comes out. But I brought my tabla, which is the accompaniment drum for sitar. You know, the white Indian drum head with the black dot on top of
That was a blast.
So I played tabla for these guys, and we talked about rhythms and frequencies, and they really come across the tabla. And then I showed them a whole bunch of, I brought my 400-watt holographic projector, and I shown some symbols on the wall that were three-dimensional mathematics from Andromeda, and we did some of those too. That was fun.
Codes, yes.
It's all tech from above. Robin, I can't wait for you to see some of my work, because you're going to go, holy smokes, what do you mean you're the only human being on the planet talking about this stuff? So I've got some pretty interesting things that I'm going to roll out, and one of them is a brand new maths language. So it's going to be interesting to see how it's accepted by the rest of the world. But I can accelerate.
I'm excited.
I can accelerate your maths knowledge by showing you this special light program and take away probably 10 years of the 17 years required to get a master's of science in physics.
You just get it.
Uh-huh. And by the time your kids are out of high school, they'll have a master's degree instead of a high school diploma. And then
since my kids are, 30 and 26, then
they can still learn. Quantum.
That's right.
They're done with their
how long it took for Dave to get this expertise. That didn't come around when he was 26.
Like a day. He gave it to me in like a day.
Well, yeah. Anything that comes in light form is always comes in a rapid acceleration.
They sat me down in this room full of Beyond Earth Sentience children's toys. And there were toys that their children play with. And there was hundreds of them on the floor, and there was about five or six of their children playing. And I had my guy Weimer standing there by the door like this, leaning against the door. And I must have been there for 2 hours. I was so enthralled with all the puzzles and things that their kids get to play with. And when he realized I wasn't a stupid monkey that was going to smash everything, he looked at me and said, "Are you finished?" And I looked, and he says, "You've been here for some time." And I said, "Okay." And he goes, "Would you like to see how we do our stellar cartography for our flight?" And so he took me into the control room on this giant ship where they do all their cartographic projections for understanding what issues they're going to come across in the near galaxy that they're flying at over 450,000 kilometers per second towards. And it's pretty amazing speed. So when they're flying like that, they have to do something called prescriptive telemetry. It's to understand the gravitational and electromagnetic bodies that are millions and millions, if not billions of miles away, that your ship will encounter. And it has to automatically, prescriptively understand what it's flying into. So he showed me the whole system where that's produced. And the system's interesting. It's called polametry. And it's P-O-U-L-A-M-E-T-R-Y. And it doesn't exist in the lexicon of humans. There's nothing about polametry on Google. It's their system of producing three-dimensional models that they convert into what's called linear Boolean physics. And they send this linear Boolean physics symbol stream of information into the computer.
And light.
And yes, and their computer generates these beautiful three-dimensional images of star systems trillions of miles away.
in a light wave form.
Right. And as they're flying to it at near light speed or past light speed, the ship knows where to fly and where to what to avoid and how to use the planets for slingshotting and going even faster. It's amazing because, you know, there's none of this when you're in a spaceship. And what happens is deep stellar space is very different than the type of space around our home world. You see, our sky and our space is black. But when you get out to further places like Cygnus, the Swan, or Cassiopeia, or into the Pleiades, or into Taurus, you start seeing these fabulously colored nebulas, purples and lavenders, and gold. The stars all sparkle differently. Here in Earth space, our space is black. So, but in traveling deep stellar space, there are a quanta of rigors that come at you from six different directions. Imagine yourself in the inside of a sphere, traveling at a very, very, very fast speed through space. And as you travel into deeper stellar space, effects from certain quadrants of even the universe, because you're leaving the Milky Way galaxy, different aspects of the universe are impacting your craft all at the same time. So there's no way a species can both direct their ship and work out those new quanta of gravimetric fields, electromagnetic radiation fields. There's no way for them to quantify how they should react to that danger coming in. So the ship's AI is programmed with telemetry so that it can fly past all of these rigors of electromagnetic and gravimetric danger so that the species on the ship can work those new physics out and have the luxury of doing that because they don't have to worry about crashing into a sun. Now, it's really fascinating with the way they approach technology. They have an intimate relationship with technology in a way because they always told me, well, for this many times I've spoken to them, that technology is humanity's friend depending on how we approach it. It's either a porthole or a barrier. And it can be a beautiful thing for mankind because we can create, you know, versions of ourselves to go flying through space in. But we're just too busy using it for other ulterior motives and selfish things. But the traveling through deep space is fascinating. So when you consider what we know about gravity, let's just take it because everyone knows something about it. They say that Newton discovered it, but we know that's hogwash. Gravity's been around since people realize things fall or have weight. So, but anyway, so go ahead.
But if you reverse it and use it into a magnetic field instead of gravitational field, you can push yourself outward.
Well, gravity can't be reversed, but magnetic fields can, and they can show influence against gravity for sure. But what I've learned from some of the scientists that I've met from other worlds is that the gravity that we understand on Earth is, and the physics that we've developed around gravity and flight are based on Terran physics, you see. Gravity, our relationship with the sun, anything that we know about electromagnetics and electricity, our dipole-dipole relationship with the sun and how it controls the magnetosphere and the way it flows around Gaia, those natural relationships in the stellar bodies within our own local group are interdependent upon one another, not the galaxy, because they float and they're in equilibrium and travel through the galaxy on their own as a little family of planets and stars. So when we actually travel outside of terrestrial physics, knowing when you're in Alpha Centauri or you're in Cygnus or you're heading to Andromeda, which is 300 million light years away. Now Taurus is 65 light years away, but Andromeda is 300 million. So when you get out to space in Andromeda, you're going to start feeling concussive shock waves from the development of the universe. You're going to start to understand a higher order of quantum particles and energy. There's going to be gravity traveling in different directions. Neutrinos perhaps may not just fall down. They could go sideways because gravity will be different. So the further we get away from Earth, the further that takes our physical knowledge and our ability to cognate this reality away from what we know. If mankind can end what he's done to the evolutionary process in the last 50 years. If we can end all of the chemical sterilants, the chemical pollutants, and the pharmaceutical sterilants and pollutants, then we can begin to evolve again naturally the way that we're supposed to as a species. But right now, that evolutionary process has been halted by huge amounts of pesticides, huge amounts of fertilizers, and all the pharmacopoeia that we're on. We're sterilizing ourselves. And so it's going to be extra hard for us to try and find our original gene and move forward with it. There's been so many aberrations now because of chemical and radioactive pollutants. So we have to move forward. When we do sterilize ourselves this way, like we're beginning to now, everyone knows there's estrogen and plastic and all the rest of that crap, the chromium in the waters. 79% of all creeks and rivers in America are poisoned with chromium. 79%. So, you know, it's nice to hug a tree, but do the maths. What is it that we can do to stop those things? Well, we can educate ourselves, first of all. I don't talk shit. I go out and look up the numbers. I go out and go to school and listen to people that care about Gaia too, but they're just forestry department people. Not all people come from academia are evil. Problem with people from academia is they're all snobs. They don't want to recognize the fact that we have a greater relationship with angels or beings from other worlds because they don't have it. They haven't allowed themselves the belief or the free time mentally to see them come to us and speak to us. So we're the other portion of society, guys. Everybody I've met, Lowell, Robin, everybody I've met are highly intelligent, intuitive people. You know, I wouldn't get on a public cast like Lowell's and try and BS you, you know? So we all have this deep, deep understanding, which is the balance of what mainstream science has. Because when I was discussing these things at MIT, when I was discussing my ideas about technology and the way space changes as we get further away from Earth at Caltech or at SpaceX, I've discussed this with colleagues at NASA. I've talked about it at Purdue. And I've been told to shut up and change the subject. But as I'm collecting my notes and putting them into my briefcase and hanging my head as I walk out of the door with yet another 35 fucking PhDs that got together to listen to me, five or six of them will contact me 2 or 3 hours later and ask me out for a coffee.
Yeah.
Because they know they're wrong and they can't say anything about it. And it just is so amazing. It's so amazing when that happens, because I have people that are friends that I love at SpaceX that see ships all the time. So the communication doesn't stop with just us. And the reason the world governments don't want people like us to be vociferous about Gaia and feeling things and seeing things is because we're bringing the truth out. Mm-hmm. So now what we have to do is inspire everybody to fight this on every level. I don't buy anything made out of plastic. Unfortunately, my car that I drive has plastic components, but it's past smog. And if you can pass smog in California, you can bet my emissions are as low as they can get. And I don't use it that often because I only live 4 miles away on the other side of town. I take my bicycle to work. I only use my car for going into downtown LA to get fruit. So, and that's once every 2 weeks. So I really don't use my car. But it's a shame that we're all in a position where we have to do these things and use plastics. The plastic pollution count right now in the ocean is pretty horrible, you guys. And the microspherules and the microplastics getting into food and all the fish. Now it's some freshwater fish. Microspherules that are found in makeup. So, you know, people flush that stuff down the toilet when they're done with it, and it goes right into the water system. So we have to stop all these purchasing things. Glade plugins, you know, they have commercials of these, you know, women or guys sitting there smiling, spraying the stuff, and it's coating the fruit. It's coating the bassinet where the baby sleeps. It's just, you know, spray it and it's good. It's good for your house. Well, so many people will never ever join the Ascended because they're done here. They're done. And I'm not crying. You know, if they don't make it, they don't make it. Eventually their souls are going to have to ascend in their own way. Like I said, guys, I'm not a healer. I'm a translator. And you know the language, Robin, that you mentioned that you can speak? The language that I was taught that I can speak is so strange. And so difficult to get right, but I can say it for about 4 minutes before I can't speak for a while. It's like embarrassing. So I just don't know where to start. Like I can speak to them in their own language, but if I said it to you, you would just go, wow, that sounds weird. You know, your friend, what's her name? Yedyamana. She's really interesting. Now she has her own star language and she's very
fluent. Interprets multiple star languages. Okay, so she's not really good. In charge of what comes through. She just kind of allows it to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's me too. I mean, there's different languages that come through and different tones sometimes. Sometimes it's just mm-hmm. sound, you know, so it's not up to me what comes in.
But wow. You have to be.
I guess it is. Open. It is up to me. It is up to me because I can control. But you know, I can say right. No. You know,
you're open enough to share higher aspects coming through you, and that's a mouthful because you know we have to get in touch with our own higher aspect first and realize what it's trying to tell us about things greater than ourselves. And then when we master that, well, then there's the opportunity to all those other things we're connected to. That's when they ask to step up when they can. I had another thought on something else that Dave and I were talking about last week. And as soon as I can think of what it is, I'll bring it up again. But it just all parallels on what we've been talking about here. Oh, I know what it was. When you were talking about, you know, the government employees who, you know, have been working on these programs and been on the inside of things. And, you know, when we get down to it, they don't know any more than we know. And when they want it all, they're looking to people like us to get right. the answers.
Well, I think a lot of us, actually, I just want to think about that statement. I think a lot of us do know a lot more than they do because we're in it. Yes. I mean, you can't be ascended and have relationships with them and then just turn them off. I mean, I can turn them off, but I like them so much. And I like how they share things and help me out. They're on all the time. And anytime, you know, it's just like turning on an iPod or a podcast. You just sort of turn it on and you can start listening to what they're saying to each other, let alone what they're saying to you. When you get that powerful psychic link that they put inside of you very gently, and they just go like that, and all of a sudden, it's like radio sky. You just turn it on. It's like, whoa, hey, everybody. And they think, and then you can see them all going, oh, human David is saying hello. Let's all recognize David. Hello, David. You know, and it's like, oh, my God, you said hello. So, you know, it's funny. So we all have that beautiful ability to communicate with each other. And I want everyone to share that feeling. I want all humanity to share the beauty and the love of that ability to communicate, the kind that transcends the barriers that we were taught to support. It transcends the barriers of silly behavior or wicked thoughts. I want that kind of loving communication with all humans that they can just tell by looking into your eyes that you have a good heart. And then you can go out and do some fun things and be charitable to each other. And that's the best kind of communication, is when you put out that vibration of just pure support. And, you know, I'm sorry, there's a lot of people that I think are doofuses that feed their kid Pepsis and Ding Dongs for breakfast. You know, there's no hope for those kids after 10 years of eating that stuff. It just rearranges their chromosomes. But maybe there is, I don't know, take them to treatment, give them water and living outdoors and cutting firewood. Maybe that'll help. But I see the result of what's going on. The reason
there's a way back from that, but they are destroying their cells in their body, their bones, their teeth. You know, right. I see it all the time as a dental hygienist. I see it all the time. I mean, they're destroying their little bodies, you know.
Oh, so. It's awful. That's why we opened up an organic fruit shop pie bakery. You know, it's just sea salt, organic ghee from butter that we melt, Bob's Red Mill flour, and fresh local fruit and ice water to make the pastry. There's only 6 ingredients. And we use Zolka Morena sugar, which is a low glycemic vegan sugar that's unprocessed. It's sort of golden amber. But the fruit is such high quality, we only put a little sugar on top of the pie, because after all, a pie is a treat. So there's a little sugar on the crust. It kind of tastes like a Walker shortbread cookie. But, you know, we talk to young parents all the time about when they're pregnant, about what she's eating and making sure that she knows that the kid's spinal column is developing and the nervous system is developing. And, you know, children, our children grow all the way to the age of 23 or 24. And so if you feed them Pepsi and Ding Dongs and Captain Crunch cereal and pinwheel cookies and the rest of that stuff, the kid's going to be in trouble because he's going to grow up as a young adult with those eating habits. And so you start working against it. And if you have offspring, you transfer those genetic character traits off to your offspring, because we've had people in here that have damaged their children so badly with chemical foods that you can see the poor little things can hardly stand still. And they're slamming their hand on the case, screaming that they want a cupcake at the top of their lungs. And it's unreal. And so we don't sell that kind of shit. You know, even mini pies or chocolate chip cookies, we've had kids that go bananas. I make the parents stand outside, do deep breaths with the kid, and they can come back in because it scares the other customers. These kids are bananas. And so when I talk to the parent after they come back, I give them my card and say, call me. I'd like to talk to you about nutrition and nutrition for your children. You know, I've made 10 really decent friends out of my pie shop in the last 10 years because those parents were brave enough to come back, listen to what I have to say, and start doing research. I've seen 10 miracles in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old children whose parents stopped that food intake of everything that was store-bought, store-made, anything that had any kind of salt in it, MSG, TBHQ, BHA, BHT, disodium guanylate, which is a new form of MSG, right? They've removed all that stuff. And they said their children freak out and scream for about 3 months until all the shit's out of their system. It's like detoxing a heroin junkie. And then the kids start acting normal. And once they behave, they're allowed to come down here and get a treat. And you know what? Every one of those kids, I watched them all graduate the local high school. They all came out normal. But when they were 5, 6, and 7, they were bananas because mom and dad weren't paying attention to it. So we've actually made lasting, effective change with my small business, with other humans. But like I said, I'm not a healer. I got so pissed off at what the government was allowing people to put into their goddamn mouths that I opened a pie shop. I was financially successful when I was in the booze trade, but I was also an alcoholic. That's why I knocked it on the head in 2008 and then opened a pie shop. So I'm still working with, you know, fruit, just not the kind that you drink. Right? Kind of like turning swords into plowshares. But I just, you know, I'm no hero, you know, but I'm not making a buck. You know, we're just paying bills. Food prices are through the roof. Everybody must be pissed off about that. You know, when's this shit going to end?
I wish I had an answer for that, but I think,
you know, I know a lot of good Americans want to stand up and do a march on Washington, D.C., but I don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't either. We'll see. I am waiting for a different cosmic reset to take place so that we don't have to worry about kumbaya together in some kind of civil unrest.
Well, you know, thoughts are things. And I still see myself with some other healers and ambassadors walking up the steps of Congress with a bunch of little kids all carrying flowers to go up to the Congress. And when they open the doors and let us in, then I'm going to say, we're bringing you the first olive branch. And we have a little girl or boy go up with an olive branch. And then we're going to say, we know what you've been doing. And we're going to give you this chance to be forgiven. We'd like all of you that have been doing the wrong thing to resign within the next 30 days. And we're going to replace you with working mothers, taxi drivers, dental hygienists, normal people that don't need a wingback chair to say yes or no.
Wow, we're going to have to see how that floats.
I see that happening.
I think that's a beautiful thing.
I see a march of young children and concerned parents going right up the steps and right through the door and say, we're going to forgive you if you come forward. But if you're here after 30 days and none of you have quit, we're going to go after you with everything we have. And we're going to do a exculpatory law. And we're going to investigate your personal accounts and your business accounts. And we're going to find out who you've been voting for because of special interest packages.
you will be taken care of that way. So you have 30 days. We love you and we forgive you. It's time for you to go now.
Yep. And then go back into private service.
And then see what happens. And then, you know, and then go back in 30 days armed with a bunch of really powerful lawyers. Because they all need to be investigated. Everyone on the Senate and the Congress need investigation. Because I don't know any mom or dads that passed the kind of laws that those dumb bastards have been passing.
Somebody's got to stop and show me what laws are actually being passed, because all I see coming out of the media and reporting on what government activities is they're all investigating somebody on the other side of the aisle. Well, where does the representative part get done? Yeah.
Things like taking all the Rangers from the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, taking all those nice cowboys and cowgirls who all worked for either the Forestry Department or the 4-H when they were kids, or the Girl Scouts. There's some real nice BLM people that are like Rangers. And you'd be glad when you're out on the rough and a BLM guy shows up when there's some badasses around, because they're all packing. Well, now the Department of the Interior is now in charge of BLM, so they can access all the mineralogy data that they had and find out where all the possible minerals that are left in the United States can be harvested. See, and the Department of Interior was put in charge by who? Dick Cheney, evil bastard number one, who put all of his Monsanto information and all of his Enron information into the Twin Towers and knocked them down. Interesting how Enron's files were all in paperwork. So it's these evil bastards that we need to remove permanently. I mean, they think they're living in Kennebunkport in their $20 million mansions. Their time, their number's gone. Their number's up.
Yeah, and that's right.
But we need the rest of their grandchildren out of Congress. We need their children out of Congress. They've just passed the buck to a bunch of clones. They're pseudo-humans. We need every one of them investigated. And my role as a Taurus ambassador is just not to talk about how pretty the planet was. My role as a Taurus ambassador as a human being is to kick your ass and make you accountable for the bullshit.
Yeah, there's some injustice that is it's inside of me that isn't settled. And I can't help but talk about when I see that happen and bring some justice.
Well, it's like, you know what? And who cares if I had to speak to a sovereign species from another planet in order to pull my head out of my ass? The kind of stuff that's going down now with all the world suffering, the global finance control, all this stuff. And the U.S. government's behind probably a more majority of the percentage of all the string pulling. All of them are bums. And remember, I worked for the British government as a trade ambassador to the Ukraine and to Russia for a whole year. I know exactly what politics and diplomats get up to. It's a one big piss up. They all drink $8,000 bottles of Lafitte Rothschild 1942 and hug and kiss each other. But when they're on the news, they're all saber rattling and acting like they're enemies. G20, my ass.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's my job, dude. I could produce all this material and all the stuff that I want to. I think it's time for me to do a little bit more political activity and get some action groups put together. I think it's time to get the moms and the children to march on Washington and get all these bums out of office.
Well, I'm going to tamp that down here today. And I love you, and we'll get to that, but I don't know that I want to leave this out there saying, yeah, we're coming for you, politically activists.
No, Dave Wallace is coming for you.
Dave Wallace is.
Right.
But so here's the thing. I got Dave's back, and so it's, you know, I might not have said it, but he knows what he can count on.
What's funny, Robin, is the FBI will come knocking on Lowell's door. We got an arrest warrant for Dave Wallace. Right? He'll be like, he's at the pie shop.
And I'm all about peace. I'm just like,
well, I think we all are, but we get pissed. And
I just think that all things happen in good timing, and that all things will happen upon people when it is supposed to.
Right.
And their things that are coming to them are in the makings. And so I don't have to do anything. So there is happenings that is happening. And so I just get to sit back and be in my joy bubble and watch the happenings. And I don't have to get riled over anything, because I don't watch news. I don't watch political anything. because I know that there is something upsetting that people get riled up over that will be not upsetting tomorrow. And then tomorrow after that, there will be another upsetting something that people will be get riled over. And I can just watch and let it all be happening in my joy bubble. And I know that the divineness of all things is always happening for me. And I don't let it stir me in any way.
Oh, well, that's really great. I mean,
that's how I run my world.
I want to be in your joy bubble, right?
Not that I don't know what's happening, because they tell me what's going on. Like I know what's going on, and I like see little blurbs here and there. And like that train that went down and it was up in the air. And they tell me exactly what's happening with it. I'm like, oh yeah. And then later on, I heard something that went on, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's exactly what I was told by the divine, what was going to happen. I already knew it ahead of time, you know? So
exactly. Yeah. You're going to feel it. I mean, I don't tune in either. I have a television, but I use it for watching DVDs and then reruns of Star Trek.
Oh, I don't have a television.
Oh,
I have a TV that plays Gaia, and I can watch
internet. So you have a screen.
I have a screen. Yeah.
I don't watch conspiracy shit. I don't watch any of those channels. They're all out there. I don't need to. You see, in my daily job, whether I'm buying fruit up in the mountains from a farm, or if I'm going into downtown LA in the Skid Row to buy fruit for my bakery, or if I'm writing my local senator about the quality of the fruit and why, I find things out because of the activity of my life. I don't need anybody to turn it on and advise me. You either open your eyes up, lick your finger and stick it in the air, or forget it. Because if you can't figure out what's going on your own without watching the kind of diatribe and palliative narrative they palmed off on us, you're never going to figure it out. We still have an obligation to one another and our children. I don't think we're going to goombaya off to the fourth dimension where we won't see any of this stuff anymore. I think that what's going to happen is, yeah, we are moving forward, but a lot of people that are being left behind need some help. So we need to leave messages behind in the form of big corporate lawsuits to get the scumbags and criminals out of the positions of control and put some kinder people into the control mechanism. It's all of our responsibility.
I do believe that.
If I sat in a bubble and I went, oh, I know what's going on, but I'm not going to get involved with the news or anything, then I would be sort of like not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, because they lit a fire under my rear end. I mean, my mom was a wild animal activist for 40 years, and she traveled all over the world. She knew Jacques Cousteau and Jane Goodall, and that woman bled for animals, African lions, like you wouldn't believe. And I couldn't be an animal activist like her. I didn't have the stamina at the time, and I was too selfish. I probably on hindsight should have stayed with my mom and helped her with all the lions and stayed with her friend Tippy, but that wasn't my calling. I was going to get into chemistry and eventually become a physicist. But my experience just kept me from being selfish. I might still be considered an a-hole, but I'm not selfish. And I used to be. I used to really not really care about what was going on, but now I really care. And so while I'm here, I'm going to do what I can, because
that's beautiful. Just, I care what's going on, but I'm not a political activist, and that's not my expertise. So for me to try to even try to do something, that's not my knowledge. And I don't have the interest or the know-how nor the, I'm not going to go learn or put my nose into where I don't have the expertise to change anything.
Well, see, expertise to get through the door.
My expertise are in healing people using light and energy and healing and other people where I can be a benevolent expertise in my things. Right. And so I will do everybody should be in their benevolent radiance where they will shine. And we can't be, there is a million billion things that people can be, and right. everybody should shine in their benevolence. Sure. And we can't all be everything. So where we are our truest, that's where we should radiate, and we shouldn't try to be where we're not.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying I don't do any political anything. I don't put my nose to it at all. I don't put my energy to it.
Right.
I just, not for me.
Yeah. I don't care where it goes.
See,
now, wait a minute. See, you're labeling it, and it's not political anything. Okay. I've got to stop you. I really respect you, but it's not political something. I'm not a politician. I don't give a shit about that political structure. I'm an activist. That means an activist, a real one, is someone who will lay down their life for a family of cougar cubs and their mom up in the desert.
Okay.
I'm an activist. That means that I'm going to call out bullshit. That doesn't mean I'm into politics or cliques. Like I said, I don't operate a website. But if you're my senator, you bet. I want to find out what agenda you're supporting, because my tax dollars go to pay to your evil malfeasance. Right? I'm a conscientious objector from day one. And I'm a conscientious purchaser. That means that every ingredient in my bakery doesn't come from slave labor or some asshole. And I'm sick to death of people not doing due diligence, educating themselves, and using their money. If you want to hurt the system, don't give them a penny.
Mm-hmm. That's
it. Don't give them a penny. Don't supply your money in a grocery store ever. Don't buy anything made out of plastic. And be very savvy about what sort of institutions you support, because a lot of the ones that look good on the outside are corrupt as hell. And that's what an activist is. Politicians are people that want to manipulate others and control. Politics is about control and manipulation. I'm not. So I'm a free voice. And you know what? There's a million other badass dudes like me that don't want to put up with this stuff anymore. And I spend my passion and the way I shine is to make sure that nobody tries to BS me and tells me exactly what their position is. Because you're only as good as your ability to describe your action and what it is that you want to accomplish with your life. It doesn't matter if we're connected to the stars or not. You still have an obligation to the third dimension. Our bodies were designed to hold our soul. We were delivered to this planet to be a gift. And look what's being done. Look what's being done to children. Look what's being done with all the pain, the suffering, and starvation. That's all. I was not a tit for tat, but I'm not political or anything, and I don't watch anything to get me motivated. I am an intelligent, erudite individual that kicks ass when I see stuff that isn't right. That means everything, all the time. I'm not a part-time position dude. I've been in trouble more times and arrested more times for strapping myself to a redwood tree than I want to talk publicly. My hair used to be down in my ass. I used to piss into the gas tanks of Caterpillar tractors destroying wild watersheds out in the mountains 25 years ago.
You know, right? I love you. Hold on.
I got to get it right here, because I don't do politics. I don't do any of that shit to motivate me. I see it happening and I do something about it, and I don't sit back and realize that it's happening. I'm going to step up to the plate. And it's hard as hell to live this kind of life. I get death threats from the government. I write letters to people all the time. I try and form environmental groups in the South Bay. I know 10,000 people down here at the beach that know me because I've had a shop that's been open for almost 11 years. And every one of them picks up trash on the beach now. And it's not because I made them feel guilty. It's because I told them it was their responsibility as a human being. We have the most amazing environmental programs down here now because I opened my mouth and got vociferous. That's all. And I'm sorry if I'm angry. I'm not angry at anybody, Robin. I'm passionate about what I do. So don't connect words like politics and those kinds of things to me at all, because I'm not like any of that shit. I'm a hippie. I have an organic pie shop, and I care about the planet, and I care about people's children and animals. And that's it. That's it. Honest. You know, and everyone gets to shine on their own way. I just have to stay busy with this stuff. If I don't, what's the point of living, right?
That's your way of paying attention to your own flame. That's what all we can ask people to do. That's your flavor. And I love you.
I'm sorry if I came across, you know, angry or radicalized.
I'm trying to be mindful of who's going to listen to this later. And so when we close, I want to make sure that, you know, the people who are going to listen to this, that we serve that purpose, because we wanted to just open them up to people that have had experiences. There are others that are starting to have them now, and they're coming our way.
Well, you're welcome to edit the last 45 minutes. I mean,
I don't edit anything. No, it all goes up unspoiled. You know, because it wasn't meant for that.
Well, nobody's been attacked here. I didn't jump on this, not at all.
See where a listener may read into the narrative and start to talk about how angry Dave was getting in there. And I didn't want them to leave with that notion. Yes, he is passionate about the things he's passionate about, but don't mistake that Dave's pissed about that. He just is so passionate with how he loves that's how he translates it.
Well, you know, thank you for saying that. I do get pissed. I get pissed at the scumbags that are running the program. I get pissed at men who make decisions about children's benefits that don't have a family, that don't have children themselves. I don't understand why these policies are being written and why there's so much suffering. So it really lit a flame under me. And it lit a flame under me this evening because I needed to get that out. It's okay to be angry. You just don't hold on to anger every moment of the day. Let it pass through you. You know, but it's okay to get angry. When you see some stuff that you think is bad, call it out and get angry. Because anger is the only way we're going to get off our ass and do something about anything. We could just do it more diplomatically than I choose to do. It's just, this is why people don't want to get on television with me. I mean, yes. I've been asked to be on TV to interview about food shows, about all kinds of stuff, about wine, because I'm a number one wine guy down here in LA. I know more about wine than most of the people down here. But the thing is, as soon as I get on the camera, I start talking about Monsanto turning your kid into a retard, and nobody wants to have anything to do with me, you know? So I push a lot.
All right. Well, how do we wrap this? Somebody say something really sweet and nice.
Robin, go ahead and say that.
I'm the only one that has anything sweet to say.
Make it nice, fluffy, and puffy.
I'm the fluff.
That's you.
No, David. It's always welcome to have passion and love that comes from your soul. And sometimes it does come across, you know, people can bring it as anger, but it's just passion that comes from your heart, you know, and I get that too. Sometimes I bring forth, you know, the passion that comes forth, it'll come as strong emotion. And that just comes from your inner soul because you believe in it so much. And so, no, you know, nobody should ever take offense to anything that comes from your deep inner truth, you know, so you should always be able to express freely how you feel. So never, ever apologize for that. And nobody should ever apologize how you feel anytime. You should always be able to express freely your soul's passion.
This is why I love her so much.
And everybody
made me feel good about everything.
I know. It's not just me. It's just the angels, the beings all around me are just wanting. They're just thanking you for expressing. I can just talk expressing your divine trueness as you're expressing yourself. And even though it comes, you know, some people might take it, you know, and as though you were speaking with over passion. Who cares? It's you. It's your expression. You know, even if you were to speak in anger, people are allowed to have emotion. People are allowed to be sad. They're allowed to be mad. They're allowed to be happy. They're allowed to be joyful. They're allowed to love. It doesn't matter what your emotion is. In this lifetime, we came here to express, to experience everything. So you are allowed to have those emotions. They're yours. Love them, hold them, and bring them back into yourself and just be grateful for them because they're yours to experience. And that's all I want to say. I love you guys both so, so very much. Thank you. The angels are thanking you for being here. You guys are awesome, awesome, awesome. And good night.
Wow.
Wow. Well, maybe I will just stop there. I had something to add, but I don't think I will.
Well, did that you wanted me to wrap it up?
I did. So let's just call it a day. This won't be the last time that we'll get together because this was great. If I was going to conclude with anything, it was, yes, we're humans and we're supposed to have emotions.
Yeah, please.
Only want to be mindful about where I send my energy so that I don't invite back what I'm putting out. That's my only observation. But we can't be creative without the emotional part of us. And sometimes it takes the angry part to light whatever fires inside of us. So when I started to make the comments I was making about Dave's narrative today, it wasn't that I didn't want to hear it, because Dave speaks from the same place in his heart that I do. He is just had enough of all the crap that we've been through. I just hold different space, but somebody's got to hold the space Dave's holding or nothing gets done. So thank you, buddy, for that. Love you much. So with that, I'm going to say goodbye because I haven't had dinner yet and I'm going to.
That was fun.
Yes, it was.
Bye,
thanks,
guys.
Thanks, gang.
See you, Robin.
See you soon.
Bye, guys.